Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are back to review the latest episode of The Walking Dead. Sadiq tries to figure out what's going on at the infirmary. Eugene makes a friend over the radio. Carol and Daryl go on a mission, and villains collide when Negan meets Beta and Alpha in hopes of joining the Whisperers. We're here to talk about all of that and more. Don't click away.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, everybody? It is a gentleman show tonight. We are very, very excited to be here, joined by all of you in the chat. Unfortunately, April and Krista are not with us, so we don't have the chat up and going right now, but everybody that's watching, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
Very excited to have you all here. I am joined by a handsome fellow over here, Benny Adams.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. What's up, guys? Cannot wait to talk about this episode. It was crazy.
I'm very excited to talk about this episode as well. Like I said, you guys, we're talking Sadiq. We've got a lot to talk about there. Eugene, you know, he's making a friend. Eugene could use a friend.
Yeah.
Carol and Daryl, they're going on a mission. Carol and Daryl just sounds like a sitcom. They need to have their own spinoff show,
they
I swear. And then these villains collide when Negan meets Beta and Alpha.
So good.
Very tense moment in the episode. I'm very excited to talk about all of that. We've also got our MVP segment at the end of the episode where we pick our MVP player of the episode. Plus, we've got our favorite kill segment, which we always love. We want to hear your thoughts as well. Benny's got some awesome news and gossip at the end. And we've got our predictions. We got a lot to talk about, Benny.
We have a lot.
First off, let's start with overall thoughts on the episode.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. This was probably, wasn't my favorite episode this season. If it wasn't, it was up there.
Yeah.
I definitely give it an A, mostly because it had almost all of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Like, I love Eugene. I love Rosita. I love seeing those two. So it was cool. I loved it.
Yeah. No, I definitely enjoyed the episode as well. I liked that there was a lot going on, but yet it was organized.
It was.
You know what I mean? There wasn't a whole bunch of like stuff happening and you're like, wait, what am I following right now? It was very organized.
Yeah.
And obviously you, our viewers, are very, very smart when it comes. You guys are never confused when it comes to watching The Walking Dead. But sometimes I do get confused. Sometimes I'm like, where am I? What are we doing?
I have to like press that little rewind button. All right, let me start over again.
Exactly, because I missed something. But this one was very, very organized. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Sadiq first, really quickly.
Yeah.
So Sadiq and Dante had this very weird, the two doctors at Hilltop. Mm-hmm. They had this very weird relationship. And I want to kind of expand on it a little bit more because I don't know, just talking about Dante really quick, I don't know if I fully trust him. There's something about him that I don't like.
I got really excited there.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you are because I don't know. I'm glad you feel the same way that I do.
When I was watching, and the reason why I don't trust him is because he just seems too normal, too happy. Nothing is wrong with the guy. And like, seriously, almost every character that we've met on The Walking Dead, there's been something wrong with him. This guy is just too happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a single Walking Dead character that we've been introduced throughout all these seasons that is just this happy-go-lucky type of person with no problem that they're facing whatsoever. And so that's why I don't trust him.
Yeah.
It's weird. And he creeps me out.
He creeps me out too. And I don't know what it is. And you guys in the chat, let us know what you're thinking as well. I don't know. I can't, like you said, I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something there that I know. I feel like he would be one of those people that would flip really fast if something went down.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I like our people to be loyal.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Sadiq pretty much calls him out, too, when he's having, like, this weird moment with the baby. And then he has this really weird thing that he says about Rosita when he's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to check up on her. I'm like, that's weird, dude.
Very weird.
It's just, you're just weird.
You just don't do that.
Don't be weird.
And, like, I'm pretty sure he knows that. Him and Rosita had a thing.
Exactly. And they still are having a thing.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's very, very strange. So speaking of Sadiq and Rosita, he goes to check up on her because she's still dealing with this stomach bug, something that they pretty much insinuated early on in the episode. They were hinting at it last episode.
Yeah.
With Gamma and the whole Walker in the water scene. Now, do you think that that's what it is?
That's the first thing that went into my mind.
Same.
When I started hearing about the sickness and how everyone was getting affected. Everyone's drinking water. We saw that they were polluting the water with Walker blood, right?
Or guts or something. Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can think of why that they're getting sick.
Yeah, well, here's my thought, and this is just my survivalist instinct kicking in, and I don't have many of these instincts, guys, so tune in.
I have none.
I have literally none. But don't they boil the water before they drink it? I mean, isn't that a thing?
Wouldn't that kill? Well, it would make sense.
Right?
It would make sense.
Because, I mean, if they're just getting water from the river, I would assume that even if there was walkers or not, you'd still boil it just to kill whatever is in it.
I have a thought. I'm going to save it for predictions. Okay. But this might explain it.
Save it for predictions. So Sadiq pretty much gets mad at Dante because there's a whole flood of patients getting to the infirmary. And he doesn't call Sadiq over. Do you think that he didn't call Sadiq because he doesn't want to overwhelm him because he feels like he is overwhelmed enough with this whole PTSD thing?
No. I just think there's a bigger plan with that.
With Dante?
Yeah. I just think there's a bigger plan.
You really don't trust him.
I really don't trust him. Okay. You know, Sadiq is the guy in charge of, you know, making sure everything is okay. Yeah. He's the head doctor. Like, I don't care what you're going through. You're the guy that I know that I can turn to get things better. So he should have known all these people are in this room. I need to contact him.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why I just think there's something bigger that we're not seeing yet.
Do you think because Dante didn't tell Sadiq about all these patients coming in with the same symptoms, essentially, and not telling him, do you think that Sadiq was in the right when he lost his temper with Dante?
100%. Yeah. Because these are people's lives.
Yeah.
And he wants to make sure that everyone is okay. And he knows that he can be that person to possibly save people. Just like when he was leaving, he was like, get the berries and mint and all this stuff to combat the fever and to help with the nausea. You know, he knows what he's talking about, so he needs to be there.
I think I like seeing these moments from Sadiq because it really puts in perspective what Carl risked and essentially lost for this character. I mean, Carl essentially died for Sadiq, so it's nice to see him in his element and helping people and being loyal to our group. Because like I said, you know, we lost Carl for him. And I'm pretty sure if he screwed that up, we'd all be really mad.
We'd all be really mad. What was the point?
Exactly. And I think Sadiq says it really well when he's talking to Dante. He's like, you know, something small nowadays in this day and age in the zombie apocalypse can become really, really bad really fast. And, you know, we've seen it in, guys, forgive me, season 5, 6 with the prison and that whole, you know, outbreak of sickness thing. So, and Dante, I mean, and Sadiq wasn't even there for that. So he's in the right mindset though. I completely agree with what he has to say. I mean, something small like this can become something really bad, really fast.
And I'm just glad we're seeing more of him because we've seen him, but we really haven't gone really in depth of him.
Yeah.
So it's cool to just see him, like you said, in his environment and how he's able to handle things.
Speaking of going in depth with him, this PTSD moment that he has during the episode where he's holding the baby and he closes his eyes and then finds himself on the windmill. Did you think that him finding himself on the windmill was just a vision or a dream? Or did you think that he closed his eyes and like sleptwalk?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. That makes so much sense though.
Right?
Because when I was watching that part, I was confused because I said to myself, how does the windmill have anything to do with that moment that happened when he was with Alpha and the others? So maybe he did.
Yeah.
I was flat out confused about
that. Well, my thing is, if he's starting to sleepwalk and he's got the baby, mm-hmm. too, I mean, now you're just putting the baby at risk. You're putting pretty much everybody at risk. Right. Because now you're sleepwalking. You don't even know what's going on.
Exactly.
So he really needs to get this PTSD thing under control.
Because the first episode of this season, he's screaming like no other. And then he realizes he's not even screaming.
Yeah. So clearly it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to get this under control. I want to talk about Eugene, who... You know, just brilliantly upgraded their old radio with the satellite part. So it was good to see from the first episode what Eugene did and what the fact that they risked a whole bunch of stuff for the satellite, even though Michonne was very hesitant about staying for the satellite, that he used it for a good cause. And essentially what happens is, you know, he's expanded the radio range. Mm-hmm. And there's this moment between Eugene and Rosita, before we get to Eugene's other friend, that really bothered me in the episode.
Right?
I feel like Rosita is, and I don't know if it's because, you know, in the zombie apocalypse, you know, friends are very far and few between, but I feel like she's leading him on. Like, you know how he feels about you. You just had this conversation, and now he's, like, distanced himself from you, and now you're like, well, when are you coming back? I feel like it's just a tease tactic, and I hated that.
I don't think she's leading him on. I think that she, and everyone's probably going to disagree with me on this, but I think she is just finally starting to realize that, you know, she does care for this man. And
cares for him how? Like, cares for him like that? Or because, you know, she's...
I think it can grow. I don't think it's there like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a little glimmer of that.
Here's the thing. Now, I love Rosita.
Maybe it's just me and wishful thinking.
See, Rosita's she's been one of my favorite characters before she got pregnant. They haven't really been writing her, in my opinion, very well. They're definitely putting a lot more substance in other characters, which is fine. I mean, there's a lot of characters that they have to write for. But she's gotten around. And I'm not saying this as a bad thing. I mean, good for her, girl. Get it. But you've had Abraham, Father Gabe, Sadiq. Now you're living in a house with the baby and then all these other people. And now you're like, now you want Eugene too? Like, it's too much.
See, and I think maybe she finally realizes, you know, I've been with all these guys. Eugene is the only one that's really... I don't want to say been there because they've all been there, but who just truly cares for me.
Yeah. Well, he's also been there for her since the beginning. I mean, her and Abraham and him, they were just a trio for the longest. So I can see why there's that bond there, but it's just weird to me. I just don't like it. Let him heal.
And then they're also away. They've always been together.
Yeah.
And so now they're both apart, and she's realizing, you know, what it's like when he's not there, and she misses that.
Which is sweet, if it's a friend thing. But I feel like she's like leaning on that more than a friend thing, and I don't like that. That's just my opinion. Let us know what you guys think. So not only is Eugene dealing with Rosita and her neediness, but another woman comes through when he opens to all the channels, and essentially Eugene tries to get really personal really quick, which, knowing Eugene, he lacks social skills, and the woman pretty much puts him in his place very quickly. She's like, you know, we don't know each other, like, let's just keep it informal right now. Mm-hmm. And they have this whole conversation about where they're from and things they like to do and stuff like that. Do you think they were flirting?
Well, Eugene definitely was. Mm-hmm. I don't trust the woman.
Not at all.
Not one bit. So I think she was play flirting.
Mm.
I don't... Yeah.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And I'm glad that you're on the same page as me, because I thought the exact same thing. And I was really mad at Eugene when he wanted to get personal really quick. Like, Eugene has been there. Like, he's seen a lot of stuff that they've been through, especially since it's been like 6 years of this time jump.
Right.
So why does he think that he could just give up everything?
I wasn't mad at him. Well, I was disappointed, obviously, because, you know, you can see what the possible outcome of him doing that is. But I understood why he was doing it. You know, the guy just wants some loving.
Yeah.
You know, he does. It's all he wants. At the beginning of the episode, you see him talking to, I forgot.
I forgot her name.
Yeah,
as well.
You see him talking, but and you can tell he just wants her company.
Yeah.
And she just walks away and you can tell she's a little weirded out by him. And he just wants some good, just someone that can understand him.
Yeah.
And so he finally meets this one woman, and it's just like, wow, this woman understands me. I am going to choose to believe that she is a safe person that I can trust. And that's what's going on in his mind, in my opinion.
No, I hear you. I just think that they have too much to lose mm-hmm. in opening things up too quickly. I'm like, she's not going anywhere. I mean, keep the radio open, keep talking to her, which is essentially what he said. But
right.
I just don't understand why Eugene would be like, oh yeah, I'm down to share specifics. Are you? It just didn't make any sense to me. And the one thing that really stood out to me about this woman over the walkie, over the radio, is, you know, she essentially tells him, you know, she wants to keep it between them, this conversation.
That should have been the red flag.
Right. And she says if she talks to anybody else, she's not going to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's weird.
That's the only thing I didn't like right there. Because that even, no matter how bad you just want someone mm-hmm. to just talk to, that should have been 20 red flags right there.
Because in my mind, if she was, you know, getting to know Eugene, wouldn't you want to get to know the group that he's with as well? So
exactly.
If there was somebody else on the walkie or the radio that you could talk to, wouldn't you want to feel them out too? Like, to isolate and single out this one person,
right.
I feel like she's just trapping him into something.
What she said is something that I feel you would say to, like, a kid, because a kid would believe that.
Yes.
And so it's kind of, on that part, I am a little annoyed if Eugene does fall for that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Before we get into Carol and Daryl's storyline, mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot it over to Benny for a few words.
Yes, so we here at AfterBuzz TV just want to thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV talk. And in order for us to grow, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star. Working at AfterBuzz means so much to us, and we just want to continue to learn and grow. So go ahead, leave us a comment if you're in the live chat, and we might be able to get into it. And we just want to continue to give you guys amazing, good content.
Yeah, we're very excited. We love doing the show, you guys. We do the show for you. Now, I can see the chat a little tiny bit up on our bigger screen up there, but I can't really give shout-outs because I can't
I
see
can
if
it's
too
small.
Ryan, our wonderful engineer, is actually going to do some shout-outs because he's the best.
Aw, thanks. So, yeah, we got Paper City Gamer Jeff in the chat. Also, Glovis Jomo, JJ, Sar Nichols, about like 30 of you in the chat.
Yeah.
Mr.
Nice.
Supertastic, all commenting on this. Dania Diaz and DG
nice.
All in the chat. Thank you guys so much. We love your support and keep commenting away.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you. Some new names that are in there. Thank you for that, Ryan. We're very excited to have you guys in the chat right now. So keep the conversation going, you guys. We're going to continue rolling mm-hmm. with the spinoff Carol and Daryl show.
yeah, because it really was.
It really was. So Carol and Daryl, essentially, Carol is going on a mission. She wants to go by herself. Daryl's like, no, I'm going to string along. And I do love these two together. They just have this best friend vibe that really just makes me love them even more, if that's even possible. And you know how you were just saying, you know, everybody needs a little loving?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Daryl and Carol have that for each other. And they've been through a lot. And
since day one,
essentially, yeah. And the two of them have just relied on each other. And I love seeing how their relationship has expanded and grown
mm-hmm.
through all of these years. And you could really see that on screen with the two of them. I mean, the two actors just in general are just fantastic together. I just love seeing the scenes together with
right.
them. But in general, the characters of Carol and Daryl, they're just two special characters
mm-hmm.
that when they're not together, something is off.
Right.
You know
but
what I mean?
But then when they are, everything is just perfect
in
the world.
Everything is just perfect. So it's nice to see Carol getting some sleep.
Yeah.
So Daryl pretty much
got
through it at that
point. She's still stubborn as ever, though.
Of course she is. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less. and Carol has this, you know, she's going on a mission. She tells Daryl that it's to look for Negan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when she said this initially, before you knew anything else, did you believe her?
No.
Really?
No.
I did.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I didn't believe her because not in one episode did they even have Negan and Carol have, like, a scene together. Carol is never even, like, mentioned
Negan, I don't think.
That's fair.
I could be wrong, but not to my knowledge. I don't even think Carol has mentioned Negan. So it was just a little like, I haven't heard you say a word about Negan.
A little out of the blue.
And now all of a sudden you want to look for him out of all people.
Yeah. Now listening to you, I'm like, yeah, I guess I was a little naive in believing Carol. But I think that she could do no wrong. So I believe anything that comes out of her mouth. So we do find out her true intentions. And I thought it was brilliant. She wants to go and actually find Alpha's hoard and then destroy it.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Do we think that that's smart? And do you think that she should have talked to Michonne about it? Michonne and the council, essentially, before going off on her own.
I don't think it was a smart move. Talking to Michonne about it, I think it would have been pointless because Michonne would have said no. It's a good idea, but it's stupid to just do it with her.
Yeah.
Because at first it was just going to be her.
Exactly.
If Daryl wouldn't have saw...
She would have did it by herself.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a suicide mission.
Yeah.
That's so... It's all those walkers and just her. And she wasn't 100% not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I know. I just... Carol... One of the best characters that has ever been written on this show, hands down.
Yeah, most character development by far.
Sometimes she, ever since she's lost Henry, she's been lacking in, I don't want to say common sense, but she's so fueled on this revenge that she's willing to put herself and others in danger just to get her immediate need of revenge filled.
Right.
And it's a good character arc for her. I agree with that, but it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I think she knows that it's dangerous, and she just wants justice for Henry,
I think.
And she'll, I think that she's prepared to die as long as she gets justice for him.
Ooh, that she better not. She better not.
I really think she is.
Oh, I wouldn't like that. I don't think anybody would like that.
I would not like that one bit.
So we have this really, while they're searching for this hoard, we have this really intimate moment between Daryl and Carol, which is another moments that I just love with these two. And it's a relationship talk.
Yeah.
And Carol pretty much brings up, you know, Daryl's relationship with Connie, which we've all here been, you know, talking about and speculating about. And Daryl pretty much just puts out the fire on that. He's like, you know, it's not like that.
Which confused me like no other, because I thought there was something there. And then I'm just like, okay, well, wait. Are we going back to a relationship with these two?
No.
And I don't know, because it just seemed like, why couldn't he give her an answer? If they're so close, why couldn't he say, oh, I'm just not feeling her? Or I don't know. Why couldn't he give her a reason except for, oh, because I have feelings for you? That's the only reason why I think he wouldn't say anything.
I don't know. I think we've established that they are just best friends. I think they established this from this season, because viewers have been like, are they or aren't they? And the writers are like, no, they're definitely not. That's the vibe that I get. Guys in the chat, let us know if you think Daryl and Carol are
confused.
I don't know. I would love to see him with Connie. I would love to see him with anybody, because once again, like you said, everybody needs a little love. And, you know, Carol says it to him. You know, she's like, you don't have to be alone. And you just being with your dog for all these years isn't going to cut it at the end of the day. But I'm like, Daryl is happy... then let the man be.
It's just he's gone through so much in his life.
Who hasn't?
I just don't know. I just...
zombie apocalypse or not, who hasn't gone through a lot?
That is just the one thing I'm just so confused about. Like, because I really thought there was something there with him and Connie, but I'm confused now.
I don't know. Maybe he's fibbing. Maybe he doesn't want to face that reality just yet. I still have hope.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. So Carol has another plan to, you know, cross the border to essentially find and chase the hoard. Daryl wants them to be smart about it, which I completely agreed with him. And the point that he makes to her, just to get his point across, was if they make a mistake, if they mess this up, it's not just them who has to pay the price. It's the entire community, all of the communities, everybody that they know and love will have to pay the price if they mess this up.
Right.
And this is, once again, going back to my point of Carol just being very selfish and very, like, revenge-minded about this whole thing, where she really needs to understand, if you screw this up, which they almost did, and maybe essentially still have done, there is going to be consequences. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not thinking right whatsoever, and you're completely right on that part. I don't like how she's handling the situation, mm-hmm. how she's putting everyone else's lives on the line. But I understand it, but I don't agree with it, because it's for her son that she lost.
Do you think she bullies Daryl into doing what she wants her to, she wants him to do?
I don't think she bullies him, but I think she knows. She doesn't have to bully him because she knows that he will do mm-hmm. it without even her having to lift a finger.
Yep, that's a good point. Yeah, because he loves her so much. Mm-hmm. As a best friend, that he will let... Yeah, I'm really...
You're on that one.
Stress that point. That he will... He really just wants to make sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would ever leave her alone.
Right. Because, like we said, you know, they've been through too much since day one.
Yeah.
You know, that's his ride or die.
Yeah.
So he's gonna do whatever it needs to take in order for her to be safe.
Yeah. So during this whole horde watching and, you know, plan that they have, they get into a really close call with the Whisperers and the Walkers, mm-hmm. where Daryl literally has to use the tactic of pretty much the Whisperers and cover himself in Walker blood and guts, which is something that they've done before,
yeah.
To kind of cover himself or to save himself, but... The Whisperers, which really freaked me out in these scenes, when they're whispering to each other, it's really creepy.
I'm so glad that they, because they haven't done that since, they've only done that once when it was like the beginning of
the end of season 9.
Yeah,
when we were first introduced to them.
Yeah. So it was cool that we got to hear that again. Yeah. I love that.
It's really creepy. I mean, it's a creepy in a good way.
It's creepy, really creepy. It gives you like these like crazy chills. And
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. So Daryl and Carol obviously get separated, but they have a rendezvous spot just in case this happens. Mm-hmm. And Daryl gets back to that spot only to see Carol with a Whisper hostage. Mm-hmm. And he essentially asks her, you know, is this what you planned the entire time? Mm-hmm. And she says, no. Did you believe her?
Oh, come on. Yeah. No, I did not believe her. Like,
I love her and I want to believe her. I just, in this case, I don't.
Yeah.
I definitely think she went in there with this exact reason. She mm-hmm. wants to poke the bear. She wants she wants Alpha to know what they're up to.
Yeah.
So that they will attack her.
I would have been so mad at her. I would have been like, you put me through all this. I got Walker blood on my face because of you. Like, come on.
I mean, I understand what Carol's going through. I don't understand what Carol's going through, but I can imagine what she's going through.
Yeah.
I just don't think that she's doing it in the right way.
She's not.
And Daryl really needs to put an intervention in on her, because otherwise it's going to be really bad. Now, do you think they're going to get any kind of information out of this Whisperer? Any valuable information?
You know what? He seemed, in the previews, he seemed very gung-ho with not giving out any information. And these Whisperers seem like they're willing to die in order to not give out information. Yeah. So I don't know how effective that will be in her capturing him.
Well, see, I feel like if she had caught the right one, because if we saw anything from Alpha's group, mm-hmm. the leadership on her part is starting to slip ever since, you know, Lydia ran off with this other group.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some of her followers kind of question her leadership.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the only tactic they have to play with this guy, mm-hmm. like trying to get or trying to break him in that, or trying to find a crack in that way. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, I feel the same way you do. I don't think these Whisperers are going to be talking anytime soon.
It's just like when Lydia was captured.
Yeah.
She was very tight-lipped at first. She didn't say anything mm-hmm. whatsoever. And this is a kid.
Yeah.
We're talking about a grown adult right here.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, that's a good point. So I'm excited to see if Carol and Daryl can fish any information out of him, I guess we'll see. Speaking of Whisperers and Alpha, Negan gets to meet Beta. One of the most anticipated moments, because this is a comic book storyline, you guys. We do know that. Spoiler alert for those of you who didn't. Sorry about that. But yes, Negan essentially wants to join the Whisperers. Mm-hmm. And Alpha wants Beta to test Negan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you think that those tests... Were you expecting those tests?
No, I thought those tests were just he was going to have to go through some painful, brutal initiation
That's
type
what I thought
of
too.
Thing. But it was, if I'm correct, it was just they were like cooking a pig.
Digging, hunting. Yeah. I mean, I guess really the only...
We got to see how they eat now. Because remember we had that question, like, how do they eat? So that's actually pretty smart,
Not even
too.
How do they eat. We knew that they ate. We just didn't know
what they ate. Yeah.
And it was nice to see them not eat worms for a little while.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
So what I liked about this is that I like the cracks that we're starting to see in Alpha and Beta's relationship because Beta questions it very, very quickly. He's like, he's a threat. I don't trust him. And Alpha's the one that's like, you know, we should test him. I want to see, you know, she's more open to things. And when he says that he's a threat, Alpha pretty much calls him out on it. And she says, is he a threat to Alpha or is he a threat to Beta? And I thought that was one of the smartest... Once again, Alpha is just one of those really, really smart villains.
Yeah.
Just like Negan. Just like Negan was. Mm-hmm. And their relationship, I think, is starting to fracture. Her and Beta's. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. And I think it's because Beta is just very insecure. He comes off as, like, this big, tough guy. No-nonsense type of guy. But he sees this other guy who has all the confidence in the world, and Alpha has somewhat of an interest in him. And he doesn't like that because Alpha is just supposed to have an interest in Beta.
Yeah.
And so that's where his confidence kicks in.
Well, it's interesting seeing Beta and how he reacted with Gamma's storyline and the introduction of Gamma as a character. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing Beta and the introduction of Negan and this other... And not to put a play on words here, but another alpha male, if you will. And I think what I loved about the introduction of Negan into the Whisperers is his sense of humor, honestly.
Yeah.
Is they really played up Negan's character and who he is as a person. And seeing him interact with the Whisperers, who are these really serious, really, you know, like, we live among the dead and we take everything so seriously. And then seeing him come in and he's like, you know, Beta with benefits and, you know, the bald head really gets my, you know, it's just like, it's just so weird and out of place that I could never see Negan in the Whisperers. And that's pretty much what Beta says to him. He's that he's too loud. His ego is too big. He could never fit in.
There was even, like, music being played during. I'm like, wait, where? This is out of place right here. Yeah. We're usually listening to, like, some spooky, like, instrumental thing. But he definitely brought the comedy on this episode. And, Negan doesn't fit into the Whisperers. And I think he has another plan up his sleeve.
Do you think that... Well, but first he has to... He has to fit in. He has to fit in. He has to adjust in order to fit in, to enact whatever plan, if he indeed has a plan. Do you think that he'd be able to do it?
See, that's the interesting thing. Like, Negan is a very smart character. Like you said, he knows what he's doing and he knows what he needs to do to get his way. And I was asking myself this while I was watching. I was like, can I see Negan putting on a dead person's mask? Something simple like that.
I could see that he can do that. I just don't see him being quiet. That's the hard part.
I don't even see him. I can't even see him putting on the mask.
Really?
Yeah, I can't even, but I can't see him doing it, but I know he will do it because he needs to do what needs to be done.
Right.
He's a survivalist. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he said that before in the past, and that's how he survived all these years, is he does what he has to do.
So Negan has this really close call with the walkers that Beta essentially just turns on him. Beta clearly did not want Negan there, obviously. But Negan survives. Not a surprise there. We all knew that he would, even though he had a little Swiss Army knife. He was going to survive. And then we see him and this really intense scene with Alpha. So he finally gets to meet Alpha, and he essentially tells her, you know, whatever he's got, it's hers. And there's this really intense moment where she just tells him to shh.
Yeah.
In my mind, that was him getting in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, you know what? I see something in you. this is you are one of us now.
Right. And the thing is, I think the other whispers are growing fond of him also.
Yes.
Because there was this one part where Beta wouldn't let him eat, mm-hmm. and this one other whisperer snuck him food.
Yeah.
I think, and that's the thing with Negan. He has this personality that just draws you to him.
Yeah.
Even me as a viewer, I'm drawn to Negan. Like, I wanna know more about this guy. And he's done awful, terrible things.
I know.
I'm like, why do I wanna get to know this guy? And I know what he's done. But he's a very charming yes. person, mm-hmm. and he's a leader,
yeah.
and people can see that,
yeah.
and Alpha can see that also.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah,
I'm very, very excited to see what happens. So that is our review of Season 10, Episode 6, Bonds for the Walking Dead, you guys. We're going to move into our segments right now. We're going to start with our MVP segment. Our MVP segment is when we pick one character, and it's got to be unanimous, Benny. Need a real MVP. It's got to be unanimous. Our MVP of the episode. So I'm going to shoot it over to you. Who do you think it should be?
You know what? I kind of want to say Negan.
Okay.
What about you?
You know, as much as I gave him crap for, I was going to say Eugene.
Eugene?
Just because he's so... Okay, let me state my case. He's just so brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, he does have his socially awkward and, you know, he's not socially adept. But... to take satellite parts and put them on a radio, I just think he's just so brilliant, and that's going to help them along in the long run.
Yeah, but you have... Okay, so yeah, he has done that, but I think what he's doing weighs more than just building satellite parts, because he's potentially putting everyone at risk.
I know, I thought about that.
At least with Negan, and we don't know really what Negan, right. what his plan is, but at least... we know for a fact that he's out to do that he wants to join these mm-hmm. people, and that's his plan, and he was able to do that.
That's true. All right, fine, we'll say Negan.
Yes,
we'll say Negan. You won. Fine, Negan is our MVP. But let us know who you guys thought was the MVP of the episode. If you agree with Negan, if you don't, maybe some people thought of Eugene too.
Eugene's my favorite. I love the guy.
So let's get to our favorite kill segment. Thank you, Ryan, for that wonderful sound.
By the way, real quick, yes. we have five people in the chat saying Negan MVP.
Oh, okay, great. So everybody agrees with
nice.
You, Benny.
Votes nice. Are in.
Nice, awesome. Thanks, thank guys. You, Ryan. So let's get to our favorite kill segment. Who do you think, or who was your favorite kill for the episode?
I would have to say, Negan when he was just trying to escape yeah. all those zombies.
Yeah.
You know, even though we didn't see him killing every single zombie. He was still able to do it.
True.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Daryl's. I'm going to say Daryl when he pretty much essentially, you know, disabled the walker and then cut
yeah,
its guts open. Like, we didn't see him kill it, but we know that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was a brilliant idea to use that in a pinch because
yeah.
he was in a really tough situation. So that was my favorite kill.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know who you guys thought was your favorite kill. We're going to move on to some news and gossip.
Yes, let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so this one was pretty interesting. So we've talked about Beta before and how there were Easter eggs in Fear of the Walking Dead of what he was like in his past.
Yeah.
And so we found out that he was this famous country singer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was an Easter egg, I want to say, in last week's episode about Beta's past as well. And also another Easter egg with Emily Kenney, who played Beth.
Yeah.
So two Easter eggs. So it started
there
out...
There she is. There's our girl.
Yeah. So it started out with Yamiko and Magna. They were listening
yeah, yeah.
to a record. You remember that part? They were listening to a record.
This is the last episode?
Yeah. I think it was the last episode. And there's a person singing. That song is actually called The Turtle and the Monkey, which is actually Emily Kenney's single.
No way!
Yeah! Crazy,
oh,
right?
Oh, look at that!
So, obviously, it wasn't Emily Kenney singing.
Right.
But some are speculating that it was Beta.
Interesting.
Singing. Because he was a... he's allegedly
right.
A country singer in his past
yeah.
life.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anything that you, that news and gossip that involves Beth, I'm all about.
Beth was my favorite.
I love Beth.
I screamed at the TV when she died.
Oh, yeah. I think we all did.
I'm not over it yet.
No, who is? That's great. That's great news and gossip.
Yeah.
Thanks, Benny. Man. Thank you for that. Those Beth fans that are out there, I'm sure appreciate that as well. Just exactly. Like I do. Let's get into some predictions, you guys.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, I know you said that you had a prediction earlier.
Yes, I wish I wrote it down.
I know. I knew you were going to forget, and I was going to tell you to write it down. We were talking about Rosita, and if that jogs your memory. If not, give me some other predictions.
All right, I have so many, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
So, I think Rosita is not going to make it through this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just drop that bombshell. Thanks, Benny.
You know what? It bums me out, because I love Rosita as a character, but I don't think that she's going to make it out of this alive.
No way.
I think that Negan is just faking all of it. I don't think he really wants to join them. What else? I had so many, but
I definitely agree with you about Negan. I definitely think that he's in this for his other group. I think that he's in a redemption mission where he wants to finally prove to Alexandria and Hilltop and everybody over there that he has changed, and if he can take down one of the biggest threats since himself that they've had, then that would give him a lot of bonus points.
Right. I
don't agree with Rosita. I don't think that we're gonna lose her. I think it's gonna be a very close call.
Came back.
Okay, we'll go to it in a second. I think it's gonna be a very close call with Rosita. I think we're gonna lose other people, but I don't think that we're gonna lose Rosita just yet. I don't see why they would kill her off. I think she's just had a baby. Like, she's got all these other love interests involved. And yeah. I don't see why they would kill her. What were you going to say?
So I think the other doctor, what if he is the reason why everyone is sick?
Dante?
Yeah. Mm. What if he's a whisperer and he's, like, undercover?
That would take me by surprise. And would be a really awesome twist, only because of what we saw with Alpha and Gamma in the last episode when she was like, you should use this relationship with Aaron to try to get your way in, like to infiltrate that group. So if they had already done that with Dante, that would be brilliant.
And we've seen how normal Alpha can act when she's in disguise, you know?
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think that it's a good prediction. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that Dante is that far into the Whisperers.
Okay.
He's a weird... And I don't trust him, but I don't think that he's that far into the Whisperers. So those are our predictions, you guys. Let us know your predictions. That is our review of Season 10, Episode 6, Bonds by The Walking Dead, from The Walking Dead. Benny, where can our fans find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams. It was so much fun. Can't wait for next week.
You guys can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. We will see you guys next week, same day, same time.
See you guys later.
Have a good week, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.